Good morning, welcome to the Sussex County Council meeting of January 23rd, 2018. First things, approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Entertained motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried, the agenda is approved. And the minutes of January 16th. Any corrections or additions or questions?
Yes, Mr. President, it looks like page 7, as I was reviewing these on the plane. Page 7, I don't know what line, but it's the motion that was made by Mr. Cole, second by Mr. Burton, to defer action on the proposed ordinance related to special events. The motion was, if I recall, was to keep the record open and not to defer.
Correct.
So the minute says to defer. So should that be changed to keep the record open for 30 days as was the motion?
Didn't we defer to keep the record open?
You had both of it added in, so it was to defer and the record was kept open.
Just there's no mention of the record staying open, that's all. I think it should be relevant.
So it's okay?
Yeah, it should have the 30-day period added.
Of keeping the record open.
It does.
It does.
It does.
Okay.
30 days for submission of comments.
Okay, so deferral is accurate then. I'm just, okay.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Any more questions or corrections? Hearing none, is that approved? So, correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There's one letter, and it's from People's Place, and it's thanking the County Council for their human service grant. And that's all.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council?
No, I did have some. I believe, Mr. President, a thank you from a Councilmatic grant from Rehoboth Beach Museum in, obviously, Rehoboth.
Well, that's good.
They just thanked us for our support.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Any more correspondence from council?
That's it.
Public comment, Mr. Guy. You bring us the list forward, please. Thank you, sir. Bobby Horsey.
Also known as.
Easy now, Mr. Cole. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. First of all, Bobby Horsey from Laurel, Delaware. I wanted to talk this morning about the 2018 comp plan. I know you guys got the final vote. I'm just standing before you as for the past 11 months, a lot of citizens of the county worked with the Planning and Zoning Department through workshops and countless hours of meetings. And we thought we'd put together a great plan to present to you guys. So before you butcher it, I'm respectfully asking that you just think about the amount of hours that we all put into it, you know, to the point, and dollars. There was a large group of citizens that had commissioned a third-party demographic study because we didn't believe the demographics that were being provided. And I think there was general consensus that maybe we should look at the partial of the new demographic study. The mobility section, I think for the future of this county, mobility is going to be a big, big role, whether it's through proper planning, committee plans, think what the future of the county is going to behold. So for the future of this county, I just respectfully ask for you all to think about the amount of hours that were spent on that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You don't want us to make it better?
Don't butcher it, George.
Dan Kramer.
I'll pass.
Thank you, sir. Next thing on our agenda is the consent agenda. We have two items. First is wastewater agreement number 856-11, Sussex County project number 81-04, Millville by the Sea, Village 1, formerly Canal Plan Phase 1, and of the Millville Expansion Bentham Beach Sanitary Sewer District. And number two is a wastewater agreement number 1028, Sussex County project number 81-04, Apple Arbor, Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. Any questions on those two? Entertained motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take a vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. County Administrator, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple items to get to this morning. The first one being a proclamation to honor the Cape and Lopin High School field hockey team. I see we've been joined by the team. I will read the proclamation today from the County Council, and then we'll ask the team to come forward, and we'll have a few photo ops. So allow me to read this proclamation. Proclamation to honor the Cape and Lipan High School field hockey team upon winning the 2017 DIAA Division I Championship. Whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize the Cape and Lipan High School field hockey team for winning the Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association title as Division I state champions for the 2017 season. Cape and Lipan High School field hockey team capped yet another impressive season in beating Sussex Tech High School by a score of 1-0 during the state championship game on Saturday, November 18, 2017, ending the season with a 16-2 record. The Cape and Lipan High School field hockey team's accomplishment is the sixth state title in the last 7 years for the school's field hockey program and the eighth field hockey state championship for the school since 1979. Cape and Lipan High School field hockey team played as a formidable opponent facing squads from across Sussex County and throughout the state of Delaware and Mid-Atlantic during the 2017 season. The field hockey team's accomplishment is a source of tremendous pride for the Cape and Lipan School District community and all of Sussex County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council commends the Cape and Lipan High School field hockey team upon winning the 2017 Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association Championship title and proclaims Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018 as a day for all Sussex County residents to honor the team's remarkable achievement. Signed, Irwin G. Burton III, Councilman. Congratulations, ladies.
Yes, great job. Now, I think if the team and coaches will come forward up here, we'll get you around with Councilman Burton and take some pictures.
There you go. Pretty big deal.
Our photo director is in his front here. He'll direct you around where to turn.
Photo director.
I have the tallest in the back.
And IG, did you tell him there's a free car under the receipt?
Yeah.
Oprah.
Exactly.
Hey, Oprah.
That's all they get. Come on in, girls. Come in from the side here. Come on in. Get somebody come get across the back here. Somebody call one.
Congratulations.
Jeff, you want him behind this dot? You can come on behind the podium. Keep on coming over. Keep on coming.
There you go. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Doing well. Thank you. Doing well.
Hi, I'm
going.
Yeah,
you
can
come
on
over.
That's right. They're well. Thank you. Very well.
They don't want to do that, do they? Like they're in a huddle.
But you know, you think, you still think. It'd be a little bit, but no.
Okay.
We get a bottle of water. Sam, you want water?
He was trying to photo bomb.
Thank you. Next up is a Board of Assessment Review appointment. Information contained in your packet As the council knows, the Board of Assessment Review is required by Delaware Code to meet and hear appeals from property owners who allege their property was improperly assessed. The board consists of 5 members who must be freeholders of the county, with not more than 3 of those shall be from the same political party, and 1 member shall be appointed from each councilmatic district. The term is for 5 years. The board is scheduled to meet in March to hear appeals. At this time, I have a nominee to reappoint District 1's appointment from Mr. Vincent. Mr. Vincent would like to reappoint Ms. Julie Rigby to the Board of Assessment Review.
So I make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Burton. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. And your report, sir?
Yeah, I'll slide down because the MOU conversation is probably going to take longer and we'll go into the public hearing. Administrator's report for January 23rd, 2018. One item, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, the woods at Johnson's Corner, otherwise known as Fenwick Hamlet, otherwise known as Fox Haven Phase 4, received substantial completion effective January 18th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We should be about time for our 10:15 public hearing.
Amanda, we're going to do the public hearing before the foundation conversation.
Yeah. Come on down, Mr. Whaley. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Good morning, Council.
Good morning. And a very able-bodied assistant.
I have right. Absolutely. Ms. Norman.
Oh, absolutely. Here we go.
I'd like to thank the council for allowing us to hold a public hearing today. Our department applies for and administers the Community Development Block Grant Program, and we do that for the towns and cities in Sussex County, and we also do it for rural communities. And then we have people that are just in scattered site, just that live outside of municipalities that we assist with. The CDBG program uses funds allotted to Congress from HUD. In our case, Kent and Sussex counties are not entitlements now, so we can't go directly to HUD and apply for the funding. So in our case, the Delaware State Housing Authority applies for the funding, and then Kent and Sussex apply to them on a competitive basis. So this year, there should be about $2 million in community development block grant funding, and then an additional allotment of home. Traditionally, over the past several years, we've been receiving in the $500,000 allotment for our home request. These funds are specifically for rehousing related items, including providing safe and affordable housing and living conditions, and they are designed to help low to moderate income residents. The main reason we hold a public hearing is to allow citizens and leaders to have an opportunity on the grant application that we're in the process of preparing. We'll go to that. Just to give you a little bit of background, over the last 5 years, the county has received $7.4 million, and we've been able to assist 858 households and 1,423 residents. These projects include housing rehabilitation, demolition, and sewer and water hookups.
May I ask a question on that?
Sure.
Mr. President, may I real quick, because we do not directly work with HUD on this. We go through the state.
We do.
So when you have a request of, let's say, $2 million, as the example is,
right,
do the state consolidate all the needs and requests from both Newcastle County, Kent, and Sussex as one bigger request?
No.
How does that work?
They're judging Kent and Sussex requests against each other. The city of Wilmington, Newcastle County and Dover are entitlements themselves. So they ask directly and they get to allot their funding as they see fit. In our case, we follow DSHA's guidelines. So Kent and Sussex will put applications in and we'll do them for the towns in Kent and Sussex, and then we'll do them for our counties themselves. So our application is weighed against Kent County for that allotment that DSHA has for that purpose, which, like I said, would be about $2 million in CDBG funding this year.
And who makes that direct determination? Is it coming from the state or is it coming from the feds as it relates?
It comes from the state. The state will put together a review panel.
Right.
And they'll actually literally ride around and look at our projects and they'll look at the houses. If there's an infrastructure project, they would have an engineer team review it. And they'll make the determination and they'll make the funding allocations.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. We could go to the next page. We just wanted to see what an impact this has had over the years. And this is the funding levels that the towns have received over about a 9-year period. So you can see the Blades has received $192,000, Bridgeville $140,000. Every town's a little bit different depending on size and need. You'll see like Georgetown's had a fairly large infrastructure project in that period. And I hope you noticed the Eagle Green that we incorporated in this year's slide
good
presentation.
Job.
Okay, let's go to the next one. This is also, we get funding, as we said, for people who live outside. That's the scattered site rehab, hookups, and demolitions. We do emergency repair. We have a small emergency fund that comes through the state. We've done an impacted community study and with some fair housing activities. And then on the right, you'll see the amount of funding that we spend in the rural communities. So Cool Springs has received over $250,000, Coverdale, Mount Joy. And again, that kind of goes by the size of those communities. So if we could go to the 2016 year, which ended in September, is the last year we've been able to start to close out. So you can look at, in that year, we received a little bit over $1.5 million in CDBG and home funding. We assisted 135 households during last year. Of those 135 households, 78% had incomes below 50% AMI, and just a little bit over 40% had incomes below 30% AMI. 58% of the households were elderly occupied, 61% had disabled residents, 69% were female head of households, and 58% were minorities. And then more than 70%, this is another thing that HUD tracks, more than 70% of the projects were completed by companies that qualified either under Section 3 or women business entities or minority business entities or veterans business entities. So we do track that. And the Section 3 would be that the workers that are being hired by our contractors actually fall into the 80% or below of the area median income. So it kind of has a double effect. It helps the workers, it helps the contractors, it helps the local merchants, and it helps the homeowners receiving the funding. 2017, which is the year we're in process working on right now, these are the allocations that we received. So the town of Blades received $64,000, and we've completed about 50% of those projects. Coverdale Crossroad received 60, and we're at about 60%. You can just go down and see the levels that were completed on each of the funding categories. The next one, and these are the scattered sites. So the housing rehabilitation, we've received $130,000, and we're about 42% done with that. We've not got our demos done yet. We're just getting the environmentals completed. We've got a couple that are ready to go. We just got to get the environmental completed. Scattered site emergency rehab, you can see that was only $30,000 that we got from the state, and that's about 60 to 70% allocated. And then the scattered home, which is the biggest one, it's $500,000. We've used about 20% of that. I just wanted to show some pictures that Mike Jones, our rehab specialist, managed these. We have him and Guillermo Montava that go out to the homes, write up the jobs, do the specifications, and then we hold bid packages, have contractors come in. We handle all the paperwork, contracts with the company, with the homeowner and the construction company. And just that's what kind of looks like when we get done. We're trying to maintain the housing stock so it's livable into the future. The first, this is a house on the Laurel Seaford Road. Elderly gentleman, we were able to help kind of upgrade that with some siding and new roofing and windows. And this is a house in the Seaford community that had the old cedar lap board siding. And we were able to upgrade that with new windows and roofing and siding. The income guidelines. In order to qualify for a homeowner to qualify for our program, they have to have an income of below 80% of the area median income. So you can see that bottom line is the 80% mark. So a household of one has to have an income of below $36,900. Then it goes up about $5,000 per additional housing member. So a family of four would have to have an income under $52,700. But earlier in the slide when I said that 41% of the people we help are at the 50% AMI, that's the upper line. And that's the what they would call the lower income line. Also, in order to be helped, you must own the property, must be a homeowner and occupied property. The home must be insured or insurable, taxes must be current, and he must be willing to sign a lien agreement to secure our funding. We place a lien on the property.
Before you move on, the $36,900, that's a HUD number, is that correct?
That's HUD's number.
So if I recall, and I think the gentleman back there by the name of Joe would back me up on this because he was there, when we at the Today and Tomorrow conference a month ago, right, Mike, I think it was, whenever that was, yeah, I think it was mentioned that the average income in this county, if I'm not mistaken, is right at that $36,000 number.
I
is that a thumbs up? $38,000 is the average income in this county, and that is a hair above what that number is.
It could be.
I think that just tells you how
statistics can.
How many homes get fixed?
Well, it tells you what the need is. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right. And it kind of it's a little bit different depending. I think HUD uses the census information. And then there is another, what's the other one, Brandy, what's the other study they used to track? No, there is another study, but, so if you look at the 50% line and basically double that, that would be the 100% area median income for the county, and that's using the census data. So if we could go to the next.
Wait a minute, I got a question on that, Mr. Chairman.
Bert? Sure.
And I'm just trying to understand your slide, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you have a family of three, mm-hmm. and one would be a single mom and two children, mm-hmm. you're going up in the scale even though the children aren't working.
Right. Yes, that's the case. Yeah, even for one.
It also pertains to two working adults and one child.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you
right.
you could kind of justify the number, but when you have one working and two not working.
You don't make any distinctions based on adult or child, or who's working or who's not, unfortunately.
Okay. No, and we I understand that completely. That's why many of the homes we work on, there's a lot of times just one working individual. So if we can get to the next slide. This year, this is going to be something a little bit new that we haven't done in the past, is we created a prioritization plan for using CDBG funding in the rural communities. We did an impacted community study back in 2016 and put together data on 14 rural communities in the county. As a result of this study, we developed a prioritization plan for funding these communities. We took a look at the funding levels going back over the last 10 years, and this gave us an average funding level the DSHA approves for the rural communities over a three-year cycling period. And historically, it's been about $240,000. We used the community size numbers from our study. If we could go to the next slide. We used the community size numbers, and then we worked out a rotational funding system to ensure that over a three-year period, each community would receive a funding allotment that equals their size in comparison to all the impacted communities. So you see, for example, that Coverdale represents 18% of the total households that we surveyed in the 14 communities, and over a three-year cycle, they'll receive approximately 18% of the funding. This gives us just kind of a good base guideline. We're going to turn this in, and DSHA is going to have to approve it, but you'll see the exact funding levels. But I did want to explain this prioritization plan. We've implemented that this year, so it's part of the new plan. So let me see. Okay, well, back in September, let me get to this screen right here. Back in September, Mr. Lawson sent out letters to all the towns and cities explaining that we were in the process of starting the 2018 CDBG grant process. Interested communities contacted us to set up public hearings, and we put together applications for them. This today is our 11th public hearing, so we've done public hearings at all 10 of these towns, and we've talked to them about their request, and then we're going to do the county's application today also. But this is the application request that we're putting in for the upcoming year. So for Blades, we're requesting $80,000 to do 5 rehabs, Bridgeville $80,000, Ellendale $80,000, and Frankfort $80,000. And then the next level where Georgetown's at 105, Laurel's at 140, Milford's at 105, and Milton at 105, Seaford 140, and Selbyville. Now, the difference between the 80, the 105, and the 140 are the size of our waiting lists in those communities. So the largest requests are 140 for 6 to 8 rehabs, and they are the towns that we have the biggest waiting lists in. Blades, we may only have 6 or 8 names, and then you'll get to the towns in the middle where we maybe have 12 to 15, and then the larger communities, we have over 20 names in those towns that are waiting for assistance. So if we could go to the next slide. This is what we're requesting on for the county application. Now, there's an exact limit on how much I can put in an application for, and it's $1.1 million. So every year, the county's application is for exactly $1.1 million, and this is allocated how we think the funding could be best used. Scattered site rehab, which is our biggest list. We have 950 people waiting on that list. That's our biggest request. Scattered demos has been very useful over the years. It helps us get rid of some dangerous structures. Scattered emergency rehab is important. Hookups are good. We use those as the county expands sewer systems. We can pay for the connection fee. We can pay for the plumber to do the connection to the house. We cannot pay impact fees with that or hookup fees, but we can pay for the actual work for the plumber to do it. Handicap accessibility has been an issue for us. We get a lot of calls about people that need handicap accessibility. So historically, I've never been funded in that area, but I'm asking again. Just so we can track it as a very line item thing, we get so many calls, it almost needs to be a division, a line item itself. And then these are the rural communities, and they are from the prioritization plan. So you see we're requesting to do 4 rehabs in Cedar Creek, 3 in Concord, 3 in Greentop. West Clarksville, which is sometimes referred to as the dog patch area, we're requesting to do 2 rehabs at 32. Poly Branch, $50,000, which is outside of Selbyville, and then the West Rehoboth community, we're requesting to do 3 rehabs.
Total number of people that will be on that, you keep referencing this list, the $2 million, how many people will be impacted off that list this year, with all this? I see 3 here and 4, and I just...
Yeah, about 100, there'll be about 150 households.
150 households will be serviced this time, okay. And the list is how?
The list that we have that is for the unincorporated areas, the scattered site list is about 950.
950, okay.
Yeah. And then there are community lists.
We're making a dent, I see.
We are.
I see no local match. So we don't give anything, do we?
No, you give us emergency funding every year that we last year was this year, and it's going to be on a slide in the present.
Okay,
okay. You give us $175,000. We use this for emergency issues.
Well, should that not maybe be referenced as local match, because it gives the impression that
it
locally
does.
The county's doing nothing.
Right, but it typically in our grant documents, local match is referring to. Things like when a town asks for infrastructure and they are required to give a local match. We're not required to give a local match, but when we do the application for Georgetown and they're asking for $150,000 for infrastructure, they're actually matching that with 20% or $30,000. So that's typically how the grant application is written. The local match is for the projects that require a match. So that's why it's not.
Okay, when you look at the slides about the cities, it looks like none of the municipalities are giving any local match, and it doesn't look like the county's giving a local match. Right. And I'm just,
but we know, are. You're giving administrative funding to run our department, okay. And then you're giving a great deal of assistance to help us with emergency rehab.
That is reflected in the application.
Yes, in the actual. This is the application, by the way. It's 650 pages, and it's very detailed. In our application, it'll say the match that
could
the county
you
gets.
That with us?
I can.
Mr. President,
I'm afraid Jeff would kill me. There are people waiting behind me.
Brad, yes. So do the towns not participate in this program?
The towns, the 10 towns that are up there, we're doing an application individually for that town on their behalf.
Yeah, we provide that service.
But they're not funding
anything. They're not funding unless they're requesting an infrastructure project, and then they're required to fund a certain percentage of it.
But we manage the whole project, so they never touch the funding allotment for that. So, Georgetown gets funding, we manage it and allocate it to each,
right,
you know, project that gets completed.
Yeah.
Is it an all or nothing proposal? I mean, when you propose this?
No, no.
So they could take off?
No, they'll cut and they'll take it and they'll
cut. Are they cutting specific areas or are they just saying this dollar amount, you figure it out?
A little bit of both, but they'll have an allotment to work with, and they may, you know, maybe the Laurel's receive funding every year for 4 years now, and they may say, well, we need to not do Laurel, we need to do Selbyville more this year. So kind of a system they use. The bigger towns are funded usually, I don't know, I'd say 2 out of 3 years at least, and then the smaller communities are maybe rotated in once every 3 or 4 years. Because their lists are small, but yeah, we'll manage the. Like I said, we're really, this will be 11 applications. So there'll be one for each town, and there'll be one for the county. And the counties will include the rural communities, hookups, demolitions, that sort of thing, and include our scattered site requests. I would like to thank, because this is the funding that the county council has given to our office over the years, and you can see a funding level and the amount of households we were able to assist. So in the current year we're working on now, we were able to receive $175,000. We've helped 62 households to date, and we still have about 25% of that funding left. We have quite a bit out under contract. This last weather storm that came through with the snow and the cold temperatures, it cracked a lot of water pumps. So we've got a lot of that under contract we're trying to help with. We use this money primarily for emergency things like no running water, no heat, handicap accessibility, an extremely leaking roof, dangerous electrical issues, or household plumbing issues that have just gotten so bad the house isn't going to be livable. We try to prioritize individuals with disabilities, individuals 65 years or older, households at the lower income levels, and then veterans. We try to assist them whenever we can.
Well, before you shift, I did notice the big shift from it was progressively going up until the shift from 15 to 16 when it went down.
Yeah.
These are fiscal years, so I don't recall, but what the reduction by two-thirds?
That's in the county's budgeting process. I would assume there were other factors that the county.
So we budgeted around $100,000 those years, but we had extra money from the year before that we then, after we knew we got it from the budget, we had then allocated additional funds that had set aside. So it was just in years we had extra funds, and then we're now trying to get that money up that it's annually in the budget instead of just how are we doing this year. So the plan is to keep doing better.
And Brad, I think there is somewhere there's a number that with available staff in your department,
right,
you can handle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the county could, if they gave you an open checkbook, you couldn't do an open checkbook.
We don't have enough. Yeah, right. We have three rehab specialists, myself, Brandy, and Nicole Reddick. There's right. Six of us. Yeah, so that's.
There is a number somewhere that you can't.
Yeah, there's so much.
George, be glad to help you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You'd be glad to help everybody, George.
I'll second that motion.
These are easier, though, I will note, with the emergency funds, because these are mostly taken care of by subcontractors, so they don't get as tied up as general contractors with our larger projects. We can, you know, issue a request for a heater replacement or, you know, a plumbing issue, and those are met specifically by a plumber or a HVAC contractor, so they're taken care of much.
I have another quick question, because I had a call not that long ago from a constituent who was, I think they were part of the program, and we're supposed to be setting up time to go back and actually see the property, but there, I believe they were part of whereas contractors had gone out there,
mm-hmm.
and there was a concern because it was of the opinion of the homeowner that the work was not done accurately or properly. So do we, after a contractor goes out and uses these dollars and these funds and we're managing the process,
yes.
Are we sending somebody to go back out there, kind of like an inspector of sorts,
yes.
To reassure
yes.
that this has been done properly and accurately?
Yes. Yes, we do. And I would say maybe 3 or 4 times a year we get a complaint from a homeowner.
Yeah.
We always have them putting in writing. We follow through a process. You know, I'll go out there and if something else needs to be done or corrected, we do. Many times it's that they want more work done than we allotted.
Sure.
You know, we get into it and they go, well, can you do my this too? And,
sure.
and the contractor goes, no, I've got a contract for this. And sometimes those incidents occur.
The call originated from Representative Rich Collins. I mean,
okay.
that's the person who called me on it.
Sure.
And then but we'll stay tuned.
The chances are good. I'm well aware of it because as they kind of move up to me, as
right.
if they become difficult.
Okay.
And if it gets really bad, we'll get to the housing authority, and they'll bring in arbitration. If that's what really were to happen. So, these are. This just kind of outlines, this is the 2018, and this is where you can see where the emergency funding that the county council has given us is going. So there's three of the jobs were electrical. The biggest incident is water wells and replacement water pumps. Other multiple repairs are probably just conditions that have gotten so bad, but we do track that, and handicap ramps is also another big issue. So. Okay, well, I would like to say that I did meet with my advisory board. I have a very good advisory board. I have Reverend Claudia Waters, Bernice Edwards from First Aid Community Action, Sharita Bell, who's with the county, and we've had Pastor Kim Teppelbach over the years, but he's retired recently, and I need to replace him on our board, our advisory board. But they've reviewed our request. They did approve the application process. So kind of before I close, before we open it up to questions, I just would like to say that I just want the council to know that we appreciate the support you've given us for many, many years. It allows us to help people. You don't get to see it at the level we do, but there's a great number of people that really appreciate you making this funding available to them.
Any questions from the council? Further questions?
To Mr. Cole's point, you said it was 150 households, if I recall, and the list is, the need is what is it?
There's 950 on the countywide list, and then there's probably another, 150 to 200 on the towns and the rural.
So community. Doing the math on my calculator, my brain, but what is that, about a five-year, six-year?
It takes five. If you're on the countywide list, it's going to take
you. More keep coming on.
Yeah. That's
the list never.
But I'm just.
Every day we get in at least
yeah.
one.
But my point is that needs are coming in. And,
yes.
And that list is growing. And it is. Is that really the system? Is it needs-based, or is it first in, last out? Kind of
the
scenario.
The emergency side is needs-based. The CDBG and home side are first in. Yeah.
So.
We
Are we getting further behind?
It's been about the same. We're keeping that 900 level.
Right. We did. When the economy went bad back in 2007, 2008, 2009, it got bad then. Sometimes the better the economy gets, the more money that people have to help their grandmother or their aunt or something. So it kind of rose like that. So as the national economy gets better, it's a little bit easier on us. But when it got bad back in 2009, 2010, we had a lot of contractors that didn't have work. We had a lot of homeowners that there was a lot of extra that year. So we're kind of catching back up from that, but there's still a great deal of need.
Okay. And these are owner-occupied. We're not helping some landlord keep his places put together. Okay.
Any other questions?
I got one. When you do this, and I think your program, I think what you guys do is great. You do a rehab. There's maintenance to that's ongoing. Do you find that the owners are saying, "Hey, I'm at ground zero. I'm going to keep it going"?
It varies. Some have more ability to maintain than others. Sometimes it's due to physical disabilities, health issues, that sort of thing. But yeah, we find that when we come into even a neighborhood, when we fix up a house and then another house, all of a sudden they'll fix up two or three more, and the neighbors try to keep up. So it has a stabilizing effect, especially see it in towns, small rural communities when we start to work in it. This year we've worked for the last couple of years with the Sussex Housing Group, and we focused this year in the Mount Joy community, and they've done Habitat's done cleanups, we've done our rehabs, other agencies have done what they've done, and it really has picked up the community. So
that's great. That's what I wanted to hear.
Helps out a great deal.
How about the that's in Milton? that was in the military. Did you get did they get a special advantage?
Veterans. We try to assist veterans. Yes. And there's a couple veteran advocates that represent veterans, and they have my phone number, and they'll call me if there's an issue. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good idea.
Thank you. If there are no other questions from council, is there any member of the public that would like to comment? Come up, please.
My name is Dan Kramer. I only got a question on Milford. As a cross county line goes through it, do we pay the north side and the south side, or just the south side?
We do just the south side. We hold a dual public hearing in Milford every year. My counterpart from Kent comes when we do our public hearing, and we do a kind of a split session, but we only are allowed to.
Same with Del Mar?
Yes.
Same with Del Mar.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to comment? Anyone else like to comment? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close the public hearing, and does somebody have a motion?
I have two resolutions.
Okay.
That's where I come in. fair housing first, is that okay? Whereas the Sussex County Council recognizes the importance of fair housing for the citizens of Sussex County, and whereas the Sussex County Council supports the goals of the state and federal fair housing laws, now therefore be it resolved that the Sussex County Council heartily encourages all parties involved in the renting, selling, or financing of housing in Sussex County to ensure that no person shall, on the grounds of race, color, national origin, religion, handicap, disability, creed, sex, marital status, familial status, age, sexual orientation, source of income, or gender identity, be discriminated against or denied a fair and equal opportunity for housing. And be it further resolved that the Sussex County Council, when acting as administrator of a community block grant, is hereby authorized to take such actions as deemed necessary to affirmatively further fair housing in connection with applying for the community development block grant funding.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I have a yes motion carried. Thank you. Next.
One more. Okay. This is the authorization to submit application. Be it known that the Sussex County Council resolves to apply for community development funds from the Delaware State Housing Authority in accordance with appropriate regulations governing community development block grants for the State of Delaware Community Development Block Grant Program. And whereas the County Administrator, Todd F. Lawson, is hereby authorized to certify that matching funds in excess of $172,000 will be made available upon the approval by the Delaware State Housing Authority. Be it further resolved that by the Sussex County Council that Todd F. Lawson, County Administrator, is hereby authorized to submit the fiscal year 2018 Community Development Block Grant applications with all understandings and certifications contained therein to the Delaware State Housing Authority.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you both very
much.
Thank you for all the work you do. We appreciate it very much.
Amen. Thank you.
And the citizens appreciate it, I can tell you that.